The Eternal Light.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's play is The Little Cork Hat by Stephen Gethers, based on a true article in the Jewish Digest, which was translated from a news item in Haaretz.
Perhaps my wife was right. I should be happy, not cross. For my son David cannot know at his age what that funny little cork hat means to me, what it should mean to him when he grows tall.
Papa? You were still angry with me, Papa?
Answer him, Sholem. The child did not mean anything.
I told him not once, many times, that he is not to play with the hat.
I could not help it, Papa. My friends asked to see it. When I showed it to them, they laughed.
So did you.
I could not help it.
Why not?
Because they laughed.
A ridiculous reason.
Oh, Sholem, please, my dear, you make the child unhappy. He is too young to understand.
I suppose. Run and play, Doolittle.
Thank you, Papa.
You know what really bothers me, Rachel? More than anything?
What?
David said he laughed because they did.
Oh, Sholem.
No. I am no longer angry. I just cannot help but reflect that...
That what?
That at first, I did the same. It was true. I laughed, just as David did, because they laughed. A silly reason when you finally realize that people laugh at others only because they do not understand themselves.
Laugh all you want, my friends, but it remains the truth. I have the secret of peace, and the secret of peace is the secret of life.
Where do you keep it, Joseph the Great? Under your hat? Is that why it is made of cork, so that the secret will not escape?
I am Joseph Korn, good people. I make no claim to greatness. Only to a plan to keep us alive.
Tell it then.
Release the secret from under your little cork hat, Joseph.
Wait. Here comes Sholem. He has a persuasive tongue. Perhaps he can convince our liberator to divulge this master plan.
Good idea.
Sholem! Come, Sholem, and join the party here.
Good evening, my friend.
This is Sholem Lev, great one. Sholem, Mr. Cohen arrived in our city several hours ago. We found him sitting on the bench.
Correction, sleeping on the bench.
Where do you come from?
From Metella.
That is a long way from here. How did you travel?
On foot.
We thought perhaps by sea. He could have floated here on that cork he wears on his head.
I see you join in their laughter, Sholem Lev. No matter. I have heard these jokes before. You see, I have been to many cities.
Come, it grows late. There's much to do tomorrow. And if Joseph is to make the peace between Israel and Jordan, we must prepare for the festivities.
Why do you stand there, Sholem Lev? Why do you not go home?
I can't say exactly. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, stranger. I was amused. Take no offense.
I am used to it. Half of these good people will return to their homes and laugh for a while. The other half will return and wonder why they laughed.
Perhaps as I?
Perhaps as you.
At times our tongues grow larger than our minds, I fear.
But never large enough where we are unable to speak nonsense. We laugh because others laugh.
You do not sound like a man to be made fun of.
You see? And yet you made fun of me. Forgive me, my friend. It has been a long day and I am weary. There is much to attend to in the next few days. I should like to sleep.
Here? In the park?
Your benches are softer than many I've slept on in the past.
But if it rains...
Then I shall get wet.
And what will you do in the morning?
Get dry.
They said you had a plan for peace between Israel and Jordan. Is this the truth?
The whole truth.
I should like to hear your theory.
A common failing of the world. Only the wrong people will listen. If I told it to you, what could you do about it?
Nothing, I suppose.
Then I will save it for him who will do something. Good night, Mr. Lev.
Good night. Mr. Cohn.
Yes?
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Be brief.
Why do you wear that funny cork hat?
Because, Mr. Lev, it is the only one I have.
We laugh because others laugh. That night, as it grew late, I could not help wondering what the little man with the funny cork hat was thinking. It would rain in a very few minutes, and I wanted him to sleep where it was dry. I almost ran all the way to the park. There is nothing like a brisk race with yourself to appease a guilty conscience. I expected to find him uncomfortably hunched on the bench. I was wrong. He slept like a babe in its cradle. Mr. Cohn. Mr. Cohn.
Eh? It is you.
Yes.
I hope you disturb me for a reason of great importance. But I must think clearly on the morrow, Mr. Lev. A clear head requires a good night's sleep. What is it?
I have spoken to my wife, and she asks that you join us for tonight.
Where?
At our home. We want you to sleep where you are welcome.
Where is a man more welcome than under the stars, Mr. Lev?
Please.
I am all right here. I have the finest landlord in the world.
I fear you are being dispossessed.
Very well. Come, my host. Lead the way.
Yosef stayed with us for 3 days. Each night he asked that we give him leave to go, but we would not hear of it. He was peculiar, true, but a most likable little man. And David adored him. His tricks, his games.
You see, David, right before your eyes, a coin. Watch closely.
I am watching.
And now the magic words. Say them.
Disappear my magic coin. Fade into the night.
Rest within your hiding place. Stay there out of sight. Kazam!
Gone! It is gone, Papa!
So I see.
It is magic, Papa. Beautiful magic. Yosef can make anything disappear. Anything he wants to. He's a genius.
No, Duvidul, it is a trick. Just a trick. The real genius is in making that which has disappeared return.
Do it, Yosef. Please. Make my coin come back again.
Ah, that is more difficult.
Why, Yosef?
That is the secret which men have searched for so many years. You want your coin, David?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Badly?
Badly.
How badly?
More than anything.
That is badly enough.
Oh, do not tease the boy, Yosef. Make the coin come back.
Ah, it is not such a simple matter. First, the magic words.
I forget them.
Typical of all mankind, my son. You remembered the words to make what you wanted disappear. And now it has fallen so far out of reach that you no longer can have it back.
Tell me, Yosef.
Only if you promise to remember.
I will study the words.
Excellent. I did not mean to let you go. I ask that you return. For we must cherish what we have. This all men must learn. Kazam!
It is here. He has made the coin come back, Papa. You see?
Yes, I see. Go and wash your hands, Doolittle. It's time for dinner.
All right. You are wonderful, Yosef.
Not at all. Everyone can do the same trick.
Mama, let me show you what Yosef has taught me.
The boy has become quite fond of you.
And I of him.
Perhaps you could stay a bit longer, Yosef.
It would be nice, but I fear it is impossible.
Why?
I have set a task for myself. It must be finished.
Yosef.
Each man believes as he will, Sholem. I am a Cohen, disciple of Aaron, who loved peace and pursued it.
But you have taken upon yourself an impossible achievement.
I see you have not learned the magic words, my friend.
Peace between our countries is not feasible at the present time. They will not listen.
They will listen to me.
Why? The night I asked you here, Joseph, my wife wanted to know your qualifications as a peacemaker. I ask you that now. Why do you think you are able to bring about that which our statesmen have not been able to accomplish?
I have a secret method.
Then tell it, for heaven's sake.
I shall. Tomorrow.
What?
Tomorrow.
To whom, Joseph?
Tomorrow I shall cross the border into Jordan. There I will speak with King Hussein.
King Hussein?
I have sent a telegram to our president and to our prime minister asking them to meet me in the village. Thereupon we will obtain an armed guard across the lines, and then I will deliver my plan for peace to the proper authorities. Soon, Sholem, there will be dancing in the streets of Jerusalem. There will be peace, and all men will walk again unafraid.
I have never met anyone like you.
A man who searches for peace is unusual. A sad commentary.
Do you really think that our heads of state will pay attention to your cable?
Why not?
They are busy men.
Busy with what?
With problems of great importance.
Greater than the search for peace.
But they do not know you.
I will introduce myself.
But they are experts at this sort of thing.
And yet, we fight.
They will not come, Yosef.
Then I shall go alone.
Alone? You will cross no man's land into enemy territory alone?
When I return across the same line, it will no longer be enemy territory. We shall be brothers.
You are not even armed.
I go armed with faith, Sholem.
Sholem, Yosef, dinner.
Coming, Rachel.
Excuse me, I must wash.
Are you ready, Sholem? Oh, where is Yosef?
He has gone to wash.
Come to the table.
Rachel, I've forgotten an errand I must do. Have Yosef make the kiddush.
Will you be late?
I don't know. Had we not known Yosef's remarkable qualities as a man, I admit I would have been tempted to call the local police and have him committed. I could not heap mistake upon mistake, however, so I went to the telegraph office, partly from curiosity as to whether he had actually sent the wires, and partly, well, partly because I couldn't believe him, and yet it was difficult for me to doubt him. Good evening, Moshe.
Hello, Sholem. What are you doing here? It's dinner time.
I know.
You want to send a telegram?
No,
Yes?
Moshe, was Yosef in here today?
Who?
Yosef Cohen.
You mean the fool with the little cork hat? Honestly, Sholem, the whole town is laughing at you.
Let them.
How can you keep a crazy man like that in your house? Aren't you afraid for your boy?
Please, Moshe, I have come for information.
Information I'll give you, but first let me ask you something. Do you know anything about this fool?
What's there to know?
Some people from out of town saw him wandering about this afternoon, and did they laugh? He's known throughout the land, the fool in the cork hat who will bring peace to our nations.
Is that something to laugh at?
He's only after a bed and 3 meals a day. Soon he'll move on to another city and beg the hospitality of another soft-hearted fool.
He begged nothing. I offered.
Do you know that he once actually wrote a letter to the chief of the United Nations here in Jerusalem and requested an interview? He claimed he had this secret plan for peace.
Did he get it?
The interview? Don't be ridiculous. Do you know what his qualifications are? He's peddled newspapers, been a sanitary worker.
Are these to be held against him?
Well, certainly not, but they're hardly recommendations for a diplomat. He's a nut, Sholem, a nut.
You have not answered my question. Was he in here today?
Yes.
Why?
You wouldn't believe it.
Why, Moshe?
Very well. Your great peacemaker wanted to send a couple of telegrams.
To whom?
To the president and the prime minister of Israel.
Then it is true.
You heard. Perhaps you'd like to read them.
You have copies?
Copies? I have the originals. You don't think I sent them, do you?
Why not?
Send a telegram to our two highest officials from a nut.
It is your duty to send them.
Only if they're paid for. He didn't have a penny. You know how he expected them to go through? Build a state. That's what he said. Build the state. They should be willing to pay such an infinitesimal sum as a price for peace.
I see. Good night, Moshe.
Go home, Sholem. You've been taken in, my friend. Good night.
get something, Sholem?
Here is the money for Yosef's telegrams. You will be good enough to send them.
What are you saying?
Send them, do you hear? And if there is an answer, I would appreciate your delivering it as soon as possible.
Since you're paying, I'll have to, but what's happened to your man? You're as crazy as he is.
Perhaps I was as crazy as Yosef, and yet I felt that he had to have his chance. Don't ask me why. I don't know. By this time, I, too, was doubtful about his sanity. Still, he made more sense than so many people I know. It was difficult for me to think. Would there be an answer to Yosef's wires? Or perhaps I had made a mistake in sending them? Was Moshe right? Maybe we were both insane. How could I possibly believe that this poor tramp in a cork hat could know the secret of peace?
Sholem, I am worried about you, dear husband.
Don't be, Rachel. I'm well, just a little confused.
Where did you go?
To the telegraph office.
What for?
Rachel, listen to me. Today, Yosef went to send some telegrams.
I know.
You know?
Yes. He told me when you had gone.
He told you to whom they were sent?
Yes.
What do you think?
It is difficult to explain.
Why?
Well, don't laugh at me, Sholem, but... Well, I looked at him as he told me. My first impulse was to smile. And then I saw his eyes. They are the eyes of no one, Sholem. Yet they should be the eyes of everyone. In them there is a belief, a great belief, an obsession, if you will. But is it wrong... Is it insane to be obsessed with a search for peace?
Rachel. Rachel, I am proud that you are the mother of my son.
Thank you, Sholem.
That night, I went to sleep a well man. Rachel had put into words what I was afraid to tell myself. I no longer cared what the village thought. If Yosef was obsessed, no matter. Perhaps I thought more of us should be like Yosef Cohn. When I awoke the next morning, I went downstairs to speak with him. He sat at the breakfast table, but something was wrong. Good morning, Yosef.
Good morning, Sean.
You seem rather unenthusiastic this morning.
My telegrams have been returned.
Returned?
I found them under the door. They were to be delivered to the President and Prime Minister personally.
And?
They are not to be found. At any rate, my telegrams could not reach them.
What will you do now?
I will go alone. You do not try to stop me, Sean? Why not?
I do not approve, but I will not try to stop you. You said something to me yesterday, Yosef. Each man believes as he will. Who am I to tell you that you are wrong? How will you go?
Before dark, I shall approach the Musrara quarter into no man's land. The Arab guard will either let me through or take me prisoner. No matter, it is one and the same. All I want is to be allowed inside. Once there, I shall speak to the king somehow. It will not be long before he will send for our officials and peace will prevail. Then my secret will no longer be a secret. And people of Jerusalem will no longer say that Yosef Cohn is crazy. They will say, "Long live Yosef Cohn, the man who wanted to bring peace."
Would it not be better to wait a while, Yosef? Perhaps your wires will reach them in a few days. We could send them out again, huh? Perhaps this time they will be delivered.
I have waited too long already, my friend. One day of peace is precious. I must go tonight.
And he did go that night, an hour before dark.
The house seemed strange without him, although he had lived with us such a short time. We sat around after dinner, Rachel, David, and I, as if part of us had gone off. He promised to return as soon as he could, perhaps tomorrow. But still, we missed him.
Why do you sit there, David? Isn't there something you would like to listen to on the radio?
No.
You look so lost there in the corner.
Will Yosef come back, Papa?
Well, you heard what he said when he kissed you goodbye. He said he would, did he not?
Yes. Still, I am afraid for him.
Afraid? For Yosef? Why?
Because he is so strange, Papa. I love him, but he is strange.
Strange, Duvido? How?
I don't know. I asked him where he was going, and he said to say the magic words. I asked why he couldn't say them here.
And what did he say to that?
He said he didn't have to anymore. We'd learned them, you and Mama and I. We learned them.
I did not mean to let you go. I ask that you return, for we must cherish what we have. This all men must learn. The magic words. I spent the day wondering what had happened to Yosef. It did not take me long to find out. The story soon reached the village square.
They're bringing him back. Oh, the fool, the stupid fool.
What happened?
He went. He actually went into no man's land.
I know that. What happened?
He must have lost his way. It was dark when he reached the wall and could not see how to go. He lay down, to sleep, I imagine, until it grew light again. This is how it looked to the men who observed them from a distance. Well, they tried to light his way.
What happened, man? Speak.
They shot him.
Shot him? Why?
Well, the man who brought him back said that it was dark. He was just a figure lying near the wall, so the Arab guard fired. They could not see the white flag he carried. He used it as a pillow. I hear. They bring him now.
I watched as they carried him into the square and set him down. Gently, I lifted the funny little cork hat from his head. He was asleep when they shot him. Somehow you could tell. And even in death, as he lay there, I thought of the words that Rachel said to me that night. His eyes are the eyes of no one. Yet they should be the eyes of everyone. What was his secret? It will remain a secret for all time. But not to everyone. Only to the people who gathered about him and said,
poor fool, crazy man.
To go into no man's land.
He gave up his life for what?
A sanitary worker, a newspaper peddler, peacemaker.
I feel sorry for him.
Then, a secret. To us, to David and Rachel and to me. Perhaps we know it. Perhaps he taught it to us, hoping we'd learn it by ourselves. Perhaps it was all he would have said to the Jordan King. I did not mean to let you go. I ask that you return. For we must cherish what we have. This all men must learn. Kazan.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Victor Leff of Great Neck, Long Island, a member of the Metropolitan Cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and a prominent community leader, Mr. Leff.
As I listened to the moving story which was dramatized by the Eternal Light today about a simple man who wanted to bring peace, I could not help but think of the contrast between him and what we read in the newspaper headlines every day. One must always maintain an attitude of skepticism towards the events reported in the press, for nothing we are told will quite turn out as events seem to indicate. Each day, a new area of tension is revealed, and unfortunately, new problems are not merely replacing old ones, but are taking their places between the old ones, thus compounding the difficulties with which the world is burdened. Thus, this sophisticated world is beset by the ever-increasing troubles of war, threat of war, conflict of interest, unrest, distrust, and most upsetting of all, an attitude of despair of ever finding solutions to the problems of the day. It is not strange, therefore, that the attempt by an ordinary man to bring to the attention of those who have the power to effect changes simple, time-tested truths which could bring peace to men should be scoffed, ridiculed, and ignored. It is not unnatural for men to feel that if the most prominent personages in the world cannot foster new means of settling differences, then a common man can hardly have the answer to the troubles of our time. But perhaps what is needed is just the type of reasoning which a common man uses to work out the problems in his own life, applied to the great issues of the day. Reasoning developed to bold and adventuresome solutions which retain as their basis the fundamental truths which we have been taught from time immemorial. The truths of the Bible and the Talmud which teaches us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to cherish what we have without coveting the possessions of our neighbors, to believe in God, and to work to realize his will on earth. With these truths in mind, there can be an end to the uncertainty and fear which torments the world. And it does not matter whether an ordinary man sees that we must keep these basic truths in mind. The important thing is that every man is capable of such a contribution if he only seeks within himself, and he can serve as the instrument for helping society as a whole.
Thank you, Mr. Leff. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Little Corcat by Stephen Gethers, is based on a true story in the Jewish Digest, which was translated from a news item in Haaretz. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were David Opatashu, Leon Janney, Patricia Wheel, Peter Laser, Guy Sorrell, Connie Lemke, Ralph Camargo, and Robert Hastings. This is Mel Brandt. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and is directed by Daniel Sutter. This is the NBC Radio Network.